This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network focused on elevating our communication and leadership skills. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill, and in our episode today, listen, my grandfather, Pat O'Neill, had what many would call the gift of gab, and he had all kinds of quotes. Some of them I can share. This one came to mind recently. Based on what we talked about in episode 77, when clients are trapped at a less than forthright shop or any business with increasing costs, he referred to that as an elevator ride. It's a terrible thing when you're on the elevator. Where it gets off, no one knows. The price keeps going up. Very frustrating. I remember him using that term as I was thinking about episode 77 and where I laid out the antithesis of such a scenario. I laid out a values-based client education model that seeks to avoid the elevator ride altogether with an approach that honors the client's best interest and presents comprehensive findings up front with a full awareness of the vehicle's true state of health. It's the method I teach. Where episode 77 was aimed at service professionals, showing you what the values-based client education model looks like from the shop side, today, we're flipping the script. This one's for motorists. Or said another way, this episode is about the way I wish every client would approach repair facilities. It involves four questions I feel clients facing service or repair work should be prepared to ask if needed. And to my colleagues in the industry, pay close attention to how you'd answer these questions, because right away, like me, you'll recall hard cases, scenarios that are impossible to predict, and there were uncomfortable conversations. I'm perfectly aware of the challenges that answering some of these questions brings. The idea isn't to know or predict everything definitively. The idea is to be as earnest and forthright with the information we do have. And that's our word of the day, by the way, earnest. We'll define that word for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible.
AutoFlow is your partner in technology. With AutoFlow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread before, during, and after the visit. To see how AutoFlow makes it simple, visit AutoFlow.com. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call ShopDog Marketing today or visit ShopDogMarketing.com.
Supercharge your auto shop with Inbound, AI-powered communication analytics and phone service for your professional shops. Visit CallInbound.com.
We are back, and the word of the day is earnest. It is an adjective, and it is defined like this: proceeding from or characterized by an intense and serious state of mind. Sincere. Genuine. Not joking or playful. The not joking or playful part had to be in there in the definition, but man, I just wanted to delete that part because I feel like you can be earnest and still have fun, but I think there's a way that we can do that. Anyway, used in a sentence, an earnest shop welcomes tough questions because they have nothing to hide. As we look at these four questions, we're not just looking for transparency, right? Earnestness is the word. It's earnestness. It's a genuine commitment to your best interest, the client's best interest. It's not a performance of concern. I felt for a while now that we've needed a better word than transparency. Transparency, transparency. It's almost overused now. And transparency doesn't necessarily protect people from progressive revelations. So I like this one. Earnest. Let's keep it. Maybe needs to be word for more than just a day. Now, on to these questions. Now, I use these questions myself when I'm a client at shops here in Grand Rapids. And yes, I have been a client in shops. I don't generally fix my own vehicles often these days as much as I used to. And I have four vehicles in my family fleet, and three of them are over 20 years old. So they need things. So remember, this is what I wish every client would ask before authorizing any repairs. And here's the questions. Question one, have you looked over the whole vehicle? Question two, are there any other findings or is this all you found in your inspection? Question three, are there any common problems on these vehicles you expect to find during this repair? Question four, if you find something in the course of repairs, what will you do? And related to this is actually tied to question four, but is almost a fifth question. Is this the final cost? We're going to break these down bit by bit here, and we're going to talk about why these matter. And again, what I'm hoping for is that any motorist, any visitor of an auto repair shop would feel comfortable asking these questions if necessary. Fortunately, a lot of the earnest shops I work with, clients would never even have to ask these questions. They're so good at setting expectations and following a good approach that they're almost obsolete. But we know that's not always the case in every part of the industry. And we have to admit that in order to engage these questions and why they're important for the average motorist, especially, and why we should be prepared to answer them. So question one, have you looked over the whole vehicle? Oh, I know what you're thinking, Craig. So many clients say, don't look over the whole vehicle. They're terrified of what we're going to find. This is what I want people to be asking, right? This is what I think a responsible client who's going to arm themselves with information should be asking. This matters because some businesses withhold information strategically. We discussed this in episode 77. Or maybe the initial inspection was very limited in the first place. What I do not want is for an approval or repairs to occur and then get a 20 minutes later call saying, while we were working on the vehicle, we found XYZ or something like that. That's ding, the elevator going up one floor. You can protect yourself from riding the elevator here and get better understanding of what you should expect to spend by getting all the information that you can. And that means the shop has to look at your vehicle thoroughly, speaking to the motorists, trying to remember to keep doing that. So to the answer of the question, right? Have you looked over the whole vehicle? If they say yes, ask to see the inspection report. Well-trained staff will have shared it already. And so this question still does apply. Have you looked over the whole vehicle? There are different levels of inspections. When you're looking at the results, which they should be able to share digitally today, and I do insist on a DVI, you are going to look for common items, things that are marked green, that are in good condition. Are there pictures documenting this? Modern digital vehicle inspection tools make this so much easier than ever. If you don't have a shop that does digital inspections, they have things to tell you. You should probably go in and actually look at it with them. Photos of good components, not just bad ones. That's how you know they actually looked at your car. And I've talked about this in my home Toastmasters Club before. The big issue with auto repair shops that I see on a regular basis is not shops identifying things you don't need. It's shops failing to inspect things and neglecting to mention them altogether. Photos of good items and a good documentation trail. The simple fact is advising on a service or repair while oblivious to the full state of health of the vehicle is simply not something a person can do on first visits, particularly. This is a key question you should be asking. Have you looked over the whole vehicle? Now, a lot of times there are courtesy inspections and other times there are paid inspections. Your advisor can tell you which applies and how far each one goes and what types of items are found in each one. But the answer to the question, earnest shops will say, yes, our initial assessments cost this much and we will verify your initial concern and inspect all visible systems and safety components. We'll show you everything we found before we start any work. Something to that effect. And there'll be many permutations of this. And now, as a motorist, as the client of the vehicle, you're going to want to look for the common items that may be missing from an inspection entirely. Are brakes mentioned? Are they checked off, looked at, or any pictures of that? Steering linkages, suspension components. If they claim they inspected the whole vehicle, but basic safety items aren't documented, that's a red flag. When you go underneath a car, many of these common things are perfectly visible. They don't require any disassembly, and they are right there. You can even put your hands on them, at least on some vehicles, and it's a little harder on others. The uncomfortable reality, and the thing that a lot of shops don't like to hear, is that if you're doing comprehensive inspections, if you're not doing comprehensive inspections, it's not going to be the best advice. My coach, Bob Greenwood, always taught trying to get to the comprehensive inspection, using that to counsel and advise the client and make sure the vehicle is safe, reliable, and efficient. I talk about this all the time, and it drives me, this principle. It is the source of the most professional outlook of what our purpose is. So if you can't give good advice about a car without, you just can't. You cannot give good advice about a car without knowing the whole car. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from AutoFlow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using AutoFlow. With AutoFlow's automated text updates, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit AutoFlow.com. Looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Trust ShopDog Marketing to be your reliable companion with AI-powered customer-first marketing, websites, and high-ranking local search. Maximize your reach with our mobile-first and voice search expertise. Car counts are like ice cream. Sweeten your revenue with ShopDog Marketing. Grab our free guide to learn how AI can drive more repair orders every day. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Every professional auto repair shop needs a trusted communication partner. At Inbound, our established VOIP platform is backed by years of industry experience, guarantees reliable connections, and is combined with cutting-edge AI-powered analytics. We deliver actionable insights that support your business growth. With Inbound, you get more than just calls. You get a smarter, more efficient operation. Get Inbound on your team today and see how we can transform your business. Visit callinbound.com. So let's go to question two. Question two follows up on this one, I think very importantly. It says, are there any other findings, or is this all you found in your inspection? And again, this is before you make an authorization that I suggest asking these questions. Are there any other findings? Why does this matter? Well, this question, I feel, removes mystery and prevents manufactured surprise. Within reason, the common service items, as I mentioned, on most vehicles being typically visible during a basic courtesy inspection, the majority of issues that could lead to an elevator ride can be identified and discussed up front. Now, specialty shops, there may be some nuance here, and we can draw attention to that as well. This will lead into the next question, though. For general repair and maintenance, there's really no excuse for withholding findings on things that are easily visible or were a part of your normal inspection. And furthermore, you need to understand that major powertrain components, I get it, there are things that require disassembly to inspect, but that's a different conversation. That's where I spent a lot of my time in the industry, and subsequent findings in those cases will eventually determine final cost. But earnest shops will answer this question honestly. Here's everything our inspection revealed. Everything our inspection revealed. While it may appear overwhelming, thorough inspections from thorough shops usually lead to dependable quotes. And the most important piece on this, and what this does for you as a motorist, speaking again to motorists here, if a shop isn't earnest in their answer, they've just created evidence against themselves. Later, if someone calls with a new finding, you can point back to this piece of the conversation. When I specifically asked if there were any other findings, you said no. Why wasn't this disclosed during the inspection? And it'd be a fair question to ask. In no way, shape, or form does this prevent additional findings. It only prevents surprises from the common things that are part of the most common inspections. The point is, again, inspections should be done very thoroughly before the work begins, and that does mean an earnest shop will present all of the findings of that prior to moving ahead on any services. Question three. This one's going to be a little bit almost less important. I wouldn't say less important, but number one and two for me are the most critical things. I think that you can take a lot of the risk of an elevator ride right out of it with understanding if the whole vehicle's been inspected. And if they say whole vehicle, great. Were there any additional findings? Removes from anything that may be withheld at that moment and understanding those core components. Question three, I almost wish was asked when people are buying their car. They don't ask this question, but it is this. Are there any common problems on these vehicles you expect to find during this repair? Why does this matter? Anyone in this industry for even a few weeks understands this pretty quick. Pattern failures dominate auto repair. Certain makes and models have certain types of problems that could be tracked and regarded as common. You could do an AI prompt, and I did this before this episode, asked AI what some common problems are in a 2002 Ford Explorer. And it gave a pretty good response, better than what even several months ago would have been, but it missed some common things like wheel hubs and those sort of things. So like even AI prompts, even if people are thinking about doing that sort of a prompt and then bringing that information to you, and be prepared, people are definitely doing that today. That's not going to have the insight quite yet as a skilled professional. The reason I love this question for prior to a repair authorization is it's important to understand the vehicle as fully as possible. Remember, the number one fear of clients in auto repairs that we're going to upsell clients things that they don't need, that fear is based on a perception. Fear is always related to some unknown. In my opinion, fear is boiled down to unknown variables. The antidote to fear then is information. And if you understand the pattern failures of a specific make and model, you can make some very informed decisions about things and give a client a lot of context to what they can reasonably expect in their maintenance journey with you in your care. So this also really for the motorist, this removes any future conversation where it's, hey, we found this thing while working on this vehicle. It's very common on these things. It has some pacifier to this equation. Like, all right, my first question as a motorist would be, if it's common, why didn't you mention this earlier or look for it as a possibility? And it'd be a fair question. So a forthright and honest shop that's familiar with your make and model will have insights into common issues. Pattern failures don't mean guaranteed predictability, but a professional service advisor will be able to advise on some at least known common risks. It's key to our role as an advisor. It might look something like this. We'll share what we know about your specific year, make, and model, common wear patterns, typical failure points, things to watch for down the road. If we've seen it repeatedly on vehicles like yours, you deserve to know about it up front. And I think it's absolutely spot on. In my world, in transmission repair, pretty much everything felt like a pattern failure, and we had very decent, my shoot from the hip, like predictions on a lot of things for the common makes and models, especially back when all we did was Ford, Chevys, and Chryslers. Boy, golly, we understood those cars so well that, yeah, it felt like a true prophet sometimes. And you could really equip the client with lots of information. And of course, we'd be catastrophically wrong in so many other ways. Not trying to say we're, again, trying to be spot on right on stuff, but the information we do have is relevant and shareable to earnest advice. Again, I want to emphasize that. My crystal ball is broken. Trust me. Question four. If you find something in the course of repairs, what will you do? Tied to this, remember, is this the final cost? And this question is key on reassembly projects in particular. We used to have to do a lot of teardown diagnostics for transmissions, find the price for overhauls and that sort of thing. What's important here is that we're establishing a protocol before the final work begins. This is the point where a quote should be really relatively finalized. There should be very little ambiguity at a point where things are all torn down and about to go back together. Now, there is always legitimate unknowns in auto repair. I am in Michigan. rusted nuts, bolts, seized components, other issues often only reveal themselves during disassembly. Things can and go wrong on reassembly all the time, but by and large, those cases can be mitigated by another inspection that occurs at the conclusion of the disassembly process. And within reason, a firm out-the-door price should be able to be set. So all of us, like me who live in Michigan, we just know this intimately. Rust and a technician's ability with a torch are often the determining variables between a mitigated cost or a devastating additional expense. The question, again, isn't whether surprises can happen. It's what the shop will do when they inevitably occur. And I do believe the earnest approach goes a couple of different ways. One would be this: common incidentals like a seized bolt or typical rust complications are already factored into my estimates. And they had to be. Typically, our labor rate is where a lot of those incidentals are already covered, with adding additional time for certain amount of age for a vehicle in our area. And then we would add to this, if we encounter an area with perceived risks beyond the anticipated ones, we will pause progress and we will call you. We'll explain our plan and the worst case scenario if that plan fails, so you can make an informed decision before we ever proceed, right? Simple statements like this are really helpful to help a customer understand our expectations. And I will throw this in: on major repairs, once we've disassembled everything and given you final costs, if an issue occurs from a certain point, that's on us. We'll take care of it. It's a harder statement to make sometimes, but it also forces your team and your technicians or your service professionals in order to do a very thorough job making sure that they have all the things anticipated for in that final quote. The silly things used to beat us up all the time. I would kick myself for missing some stupid things. You'd start getting the drive shaft in, you're nearing the completion of a transmission install, and all of a sudden you realize you have a seized U-joint on this drive shaft, and it's like, oh, it's 4 o'clock, it's Friday, the customer wants this thing before the weekend. Guess what? We paid for those U-joints. Happened a lot. Little things like that. Very frustrating. But to call the customer and have to say, oh, haha, we found this on assembly versus disassembly, not good. We want to avoid those cases. And I think we should. So those are the four questions. And you can see, again, where the angle on this is pretty clear. When we ask, have you looked over the whole vehicle? We're making sure that it's on record that, yes, we're approaching this initial authorization that we're asking for at this stage of the visit from a position of having looked at the vehicle already. The question two, are there any other findings, or is this all you found in your inspection, is putting it on the line right now before you give your first yes. Yeah, here's the other things that we found. And you get to deal with those and make an informed decision with the whole picture in place. Understanding common failures with question three. And then, of course, understanding the final cost, or if there will be any other expectations that we can have on things that may come up. So that's the approach. I think any motorist should feel confident in asking those questions of a shop. And I think I love the people that I work with on a day-to-day basis and the professionals I get to know in this industry. These questions shouldn't even need to be asked by the clients in your shop. You do such a great job setting expectations and being forthright and in earnest with them up front all the time. I like that approach. And it's why I have a good perspective of this industry overall. Just remember, the motorists out there don't get to know all of you all the time. I wish that was the case. So in closing, here's what we're listening for as a motorist, right? Earnest, non-evasive answers. An earnest shop welcomes these questions if they haven't already addressed them before you've asked. They'll answer thoroughly, specifically, with details about their process, their commitments. They'll show you inspection details. They'll explain variables without hiding behind them. If you feel rushed into a quick yes, just be patient and ask these questions. To my industry colleagues, if these questions make you uncomfortable or you think it's risky advice that I'm giving here, reach out. Tell me what you think. For a long time, people encouraged keeping the mystery in these processes in our shops. Those days are done. We have more informed clients with AI in their pockets, and frankly, the more earnest shops will be the ones with the best relationships long term. So to prevent the elevator ride, to stop it in its tracks, it doesn't require skepticism. It's just patient information. Something to add, something you're curious about, something you'd like to talk about with me, email me here, speakup@craigoneill.net. O'Neill is O-N-E-I-L-L. We appreciate hearing from you on anything that helps or suggestions on topics you'd like to hear us discuss on the show that will help you on your communication journey in our beloved industry. Remember, listen up to the other shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton, and hey, once again, thank you to our sponsors at The Institute, Autoflow, Inbound, and ShopDog Marketing. Thank you, our loyal listeners, for joining us. Now get out there, listen up, speak up, don't take the elevator.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Craig on your favorite podcast listening app and on his YouTube channel. Let him know what you'd like him to speak up about. Craig is all for advancing the automotive service aftermarket.